Okay. Take two. Do I get to reset my timer, or is that 24 seconds counting against me? It was my fault, so I guess I'm up to 29, 30 seconds. Gosh, it keeps ticking. So anyway, this past Friday, David had planned a youth group trip to Kings Island, and I think there were 13 in the group, total in the group, 13 until I left. So I got a chance to join for 3 hours, which on a moderately busy day at Kings Island like it was, that's the equivalent to what? Well, no, three rides. It was moderately, not super busy. So yeah, that equaled 3 rides, and I skipped lunch for one of those 3 rides. So as soon as we got there, and we were doing good time on being on time, but of course we were the last ones there. But we were in the parking lot before 11. So that's, thank you. Thank you. That's pretty awesome thing for us. So when we got there to the meeting spot there at the fountain where everyone else was, Kurt and Sherry was there with him. And as soon as our carload of people walked up, Kurt said, "All right, let's head to Orion." Now, if you haven't heard, Kings Island has a new roller coaster this year, and it's called Orion. It is one of 7 gig coasters, one of only 7 gig coasters in the entire world. The first hill is a 300-foot drop. You are dropping the length of a football field. And at one point, and that's the height of the drop. The actual length, I looked this up, the actual length that you drop because of the slope is 447 feet. So yeah, from the top down, it's 300, but the actual length of your drop before you feel your stomach again is 447 feet. And you're falling at an 85-degree angle. At least at some point. There's one point there. It's not the whole thing. But yeah, there's a point there. And I've never fallen straight down. I don't know what that extra 5 degrees would increase. But I tell you what, 85 degrees feels like you're falling straight down. And I can say that from personal experience now. See, I didn't have plans to ride Orion. Not this year. I was just going to let it go a year. Let them work out all the kinks. You know. Let all those guys ride it first to make sure it's working. And actually, when we got there, they were pulling one of the carts off because something was going wrong with it. So that was, I was like, that doesn't feel very good. And Kurt's like, they're getting rid of the bad one. We'll be good. So, but as soon as I walked up the front and Kurt said that, I might as well have been strapped into the cart at that point. So yeah, we got a chance to board with our 10 people that rode, rows 2 through something. And so Paige and I went right up to number 2. We were second row. And it was a blast. It really was a blast. And so I encourage you to go do that. So that was exciting. That was something exciting this week. I had another exciting thing to share with you this week that happened. My car, I've talked about my car a few times. My car is getting old. We it's old in our family now. We call him the old man. So he is up to 234,000 miles, which is pretty good. It's pretty good for a vehicle. I've taken good care of him. He's taken good care of me. And I had 2 goals with that car. I wanted it to last long enough for us to pay Jess's car off. And this was the year to pay her car off. And I hope to at least see 250,000 in a vehicle that I owned. I've never seen that number on an odometer on a vehicle I've owned. I've seen it like on Facebook where, I don't know how many of you guys are friends with Alan Marcari, and he had like 300,000 or something on his truck. Any other friends of Alan? Not Alan Marcari, Alan, the other Alan. Burke, yes, Alan Burke. So, because he kept posting odometer pictures. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to set my goal at 300, but 250 would be nice. So back in June, we paid Jess's car off. And so we made our first goal there. And so when we were at that point, I thought, you know what? Things are kind of funky right now in the world. I want to check and see what rates look like. Because they're either going to be high or they're going to be way low, depending on, you know, how much. Yeah, and they are way low. Like way low, way low. We're painting some rooms in our house so we can go on and get refinanced and drop a few percentage points there even. So I looked into it, and a loan was 2.5%, which is crazy awesome for a car loan. That's half of what a good car loan would be in normal times, right? We have a used car salesman, ex-used car salesman here. Yep. So 2.5. And so I was like, well, that's a really good rate. So, and some of you guys might remember my God story about the current vehicle that I'm in, my old man, AKA the Lincoln, that it was acquired through trading a car that I had that didn't have any payments on. So for 8 years, I've driven this vehicle. We got it at 150,000 miles, drove it for 8 years, didn't pay a penny into it as far as any kind of, we just traded even for it. But it drinks gas, like it guzzles it, like, you know, like one of those things that kids use in college. You know? Yes, a bong. Yeah, that's, you know those big, you know the little pixie sticks? I went to a Christian college. So you know the big plastic pixie sticks? That was our bong. We called that a pixie stick bong. So that was as crazy as we got. So that was on Poker Friday night. So in the boys' dorm. So, but that the car just drinks gas. So years ago, I had done a little... You guys know me, I'm nerdy and whatever. I did an Excel spreadsheet and tracked all of my miles and gas and all that to see how much I'd save, because you have to put the expensive gas in this car. It requires 91 or above, and 91 is nowhere to be found, so that means 93. And 93 gas, that's expensive. And it's like 12.5 miles per gallon. So when I did that study, if I get into a car that used regular gas that got just double, you know, 25 miles per gallon, then I would save $180 a month just in gas. And I was like, holy cow, that's my wife's car payment. So I've got that. We paid my wife's car off. So we had this really good loan, or, you know, pre-approved for this loan. And so I was like, man, this is, you know, we can put both of these things together and it doesn't affect our budget at all, because this is a budget we've been used to for 5 years. I've been paying for the gas for my car for 5 years. We've been paying for her car payments for 5 years. So in this good rates. And so I went car shopping. So, and I figured I would tell you guys, because it's hard to keep a new car a secret. And as a minister, when you have shiny new things, some people are excited about that and other people are critical about that. So I believe most of you here would be excited about that because you guys just have great hearts. So, but there are people, and I know people talk, I've heard a number of different times, just driving an old Lincoln, that your preacher drives a Lincoln. Did you know that? You must pay him way too much. Well, if you knew the story behind the Lincoln. So I share this. I actually share this story for three different reasons, okay? Let me see if I can get this straight. I want to share the third reason first, the first reason second, and the second reason third. Okay. The third reason I share this is because people can be critical out there, and I want all of us to be able to stop rumors and gossip with just facts. It's not anything out of our normal budget, except for I forgot to factor in that insurance is going to go up. So with a newer car. So if we keep the old man, our insurance goes up $50 a month. Once I get the old man sold, our insurance difference is only $20 a month. I think we'll be all right with that. You guys don't have to worry about us there. So, and on top of that, this summer we paid off a couple credit cards too. So we're even in better shape than we were. So I share that so that one, if there's anyone here that would see a shiny new car and a preacher smiling in it, just know I'm enjoying it because it's a good God thing. And that actually is my number one reason for wanting to share it with you, is because I believe it really is a God thing. I shared with you guys years ago but it was about years before that we went through a very difficult time financially, and we chose to stop tithing for a bit just to make ends meet in our family. Daycare was going crazy at the time, cost-wise, and so we got a chance to get back up on that. God blessed us with a little bit extra at one time. We got a chance to pay off some debt, and we got a chance to start tithing again. And then our whole church went through the Take God at His Word, if you guys remember that series. And that series made a big difference for a lot of us in the church. I'd like to say all of us, but I know it made a big difference for a lot of us in the church. And that's one of the reasons why our church has been doing so well through the whole coronavirus thing. You guys have remained faithful, and I believe it was from some of that study, pardon me, that hit our church at the right time. And in that study, I realized I wasn't quite up to 10%, so we increased ours to 10%. And then a year later, I was looking at our stuff, and I was really sweating it out because I felt convicted that tithing off of our salary wasn't enough. I started tithing off of our medical benefits because that's something we get. And medical benefits are expensive. And so I was like, you know what? Let's tithe on all of it. I want to give God my first fruits. And we talked in that series about Malachi 3:10. If I can get all the way down there. There we go. And Malachi 3:10 was the challenge in that study and take God at his word. And it is bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there is no room enough to store it. I'm not a prosperity gospel person. I'm not a health and wealth gospel person. And for the 15 years I've been here, it's August. Saturday is my 15-year anniversary. So that's really cool. I stick with things, I guess. I know the problems my old man has, so I stuck with him for 8 years. I had my Firebird for 10 years. I've been here for 15, so it made sense to buy a newer car because I stick with things for a while. I've proven that to myself. So Google later today how long a minister stays at a church on average, and you'll be unfortunately shocked. It's not a good number, and it's worse for youth ministers. So you're almost there. Yeah. So I share this with you because the first reason is to brag on God. Amen. Because we've got a number of stories in the church that we have been faithful and God has blessed. And God says, see if I don't. And you can go and you can say, well, that's Old Testament. Old Testament's tithing. Well, you know what? You test God. And if he comes through for you, if it's in the Old Testament or New Testament, then you can take him at his word and say, wow, this was in the Bible. It doesn't matter if it's Old Testament or New Testament. And God was faithful. And I see that as a huge blessing in how God has been able to take care of us the way he has. And I believe that is directly connected to tithing. And we have been faithful. We have been consistent. In fact, this morning I just dropped our tithe for July. So we were just a little bit behind on that one. But it's in there for July. We'll get another one in for August in the next couple of weeks. And so that's awesome. So that's the top reason I want to share that with you. And if you are, you know, if you're approached by someone, you know, that's critical or whatever, then you can let that be an opportunity to share a God story with them rather than just debunk a gossip. You can actually take that to another level and turn it into a conversation about God. And that would be an awesome use of that. So then I have one other reason for bringing this up. When we were shopping around, we found some salesmen that were not great. We found a couple that were. And so we went with one that we found that was just a really, really awesome guy. And I do want to give a shout out up to where I just dropped Al. I had to find Nancy's name to find Al's name. And then I had to go back to Karen and say, that's Karen. So Nancy, one of the days when you weren't here because you guys all sit in the same area, I called Karen Nancy. So I'm having a hard time with this little foursome here, this little group. So, but yeah, shout out to King's Auto Mall. I wish I would have bought from a guy named Devin out there. Super awesome guy. And their whole outfit out there, they really treated us well. So just the right car at the right price at a different place. Ed, I don't remember his last name. Mueller, something like that. Ed, Joseph, VW. After we got done with all the stuff, and he was super awesome to work with, and then he said, and of course, topic came up about being a minister, and he said, so how's that happen? So I got a chance to share my testimony with him, and he said he grew up Catholic, and he's been going to Crossroads, and he said, if you could you please ask your church to pray for my wife? I said, absolutely. His wife, and he's an old-ish man. I don't know how to call people older anymore now that I'm getting older, that old people aren't so old to me anymore. But his wife, Sandy, so if you want to write that down in your prayer list there today, Sandy, and I can't remember the last name right offhand. She had been in the hospital for 3 weeks. They've diagnosed her with stage 4 cancer, but they don't know what it is. They know it's stage 4, but they haven't identified exactly what the cancer is, so they can't start treating it. And everyone here knows that at stage 4, things are ticking there. That's dangerous. And there's a chance that she has a rare form. He gave me the percentage of people. It was like single digit percentage of people that could have this. And it's even a question mark if that's the one she has. So it's unknown. They just know she has cancer. They sent her home on Friday. And so Friday was his first day to go home and spend the day with her. So if you could pray for them, that's my second reason for bringing that up. Because he asked me to, and I pulled him outside. And after everything was done, I pulled him outside and prayed with him right there in the parking lot and then left. And so back to our subject today. A little off topic. However, God stories are always sermon topics. And sharing about church events and celebrating, 13 people going to a COVID-infested theme park. So worthwhile topics to share. But back onto our topic today, and don't fear too much of the time spent in those stories. Our topic today is very simple. It is talking about loving God. We're finishing up on a series called Love. The greatest of these is love. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandments." Jesus said the single most important thing that we can do is love God. That the single greatest commandment is to love God. It's a big deal. It's the biggest deal. It's not just a big deal. Nothing else is above this. Nothing else even battles for priority with this. Loving God is the priority. That's our first core value here. God is first. He is the priority. He's not first priority. He's the priority. So it's very important. So to talk about what it means to love God, I want to go to John chapters 14 and 15. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. And we're actually going to start in 15 and then go back to 14 in a little bit. We'll have the scripture up on the screen. This is a very intimate conversation that Jesus has with his disciples right before his arrest. They have had the Last Supper, and this conversation is happening between the Last Supper and the garden where he is going to be arrested in. He says in John chapter 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you." And I'll try to read carefully because Jesus sounds like he'll sound like he's talking in circles here. So, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." If you remember, that goes all the way back to the beginning of the series that God loved first. "I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in the name of the Father, In my name, the Father will give to you. This is my command. Love each other. We talked about loving each other. We've talked about the definition of love. We've talked about how much God loves us. And I told you I was saving this one, kind of similar to how my arrangement earlier was. I was saving this one to finish the whole series out in. The most important of all of these is our love to God. To love God. To love God means to remain in Him. Let's write that down. I'm just going to write that down. We've talked about the pens, and we took all the pens and the Bibles and the books out, the Bibles and the hymnals out because of COVID, and we were trying to be careful with everything. And then it dawned on me, like last week, that COVID dies, like within a few days. Those books sit here for a week. The pens sit here for a week. So you guys could have pens and books and all that. And I think we'd be safe with that. So we'll try and make some maneuvers that direction. That was a lot of work that Don Allen and David put into that. Because that's not easy pulling all those books out, is it, Don? No. You had help. You had extra help. Okay. Good news. So to love God means to remain in Him. So let's take some quick notes and just simply break this down. And this is very simple what we're going to look at, but don't mistake simple for success. Just because this is simple doesn't mean that we are successful at it. But the concept is very simple. And I just want to remind you of this concept that to love God means to remain in Him. And how do we remain in Him? We obey His commandments. It's one of the things Jesus said in John chapter 15, and He says it again in John chapter 14 when we bounce back to that passage. How do we love Him? We obey His commandments. It's crazy simple, but just because it's simple doesn't mean we're all successful at it, does it? Obey His commandments. One, and then we stay in communication with Him. We'll break this one down too a little bit. So there's different ways when we communicate. You know, when I'm speaking, you guys are doing what? You're listening, yes. And there's active communication happening there. I hope that that's what's happening. So we stay in communication too. So we listen to Him. So that's one way that you can be in communication with Him, is that you listen to Him. And that happens through being in His Word. I've always said that His Word is the most concrete form of His communication to us. It's not His only form of communication, but it is His most concrete form of communication. You go and you read those words, and they don't change from day to day. They're there. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And you also listen to Him by being attentive to His Holy Spirit living inside of you. To be attentive to His Holy Spirit living inside of you, speaking to you, teaching you, being a presence of truth, a presence of conviction. So not only do we listen to Him, but part of this communication then is sharing with Him, is speaking to Him. So sharing with Him, let's go and write that down. That's the other side of it. You share with Him, and you share with Him. And two main ways we do that is through prayer and through worship. And worship's not just singing like we were doing today, though that is worship. There are many different ways we can worship God. And so we share with Him. We bring Him honor. We share with Him. We talk to Him. We share with Him the things that are exciting for us. We share with Him the things that are scary for us. We share with Him the happy times and the sad times. And this is just, it's a simple, simple list. We obey His commandments, and we stay in communication with Him. It's really simple, but once again, don't understand simple as successful. We all struggle with this, don't we? As simple as it is, and this is the most important thing we can do, correct? To remain in Him means to love Him. You those two work interchangeably. As you look at what Jesus lays out here, to remain in God, these are the things that take place. To love God is the same things. So to love God means to remain in Him. That's our love of God. And one of the things that I've noticed, that I've observed through the years, is that when one of these two areas is off, it directly affects the other. Let's write that down. When one of these two areas is off, areas are, I never can figure that out. Am I right? Is it is or are? R? It was R? It is? Oh man, here we go. It's going to get hot. We're going to have a good grammar debate. So anyway, whichever it is, when one of these two areas is are off, it directly affects the other. It directly affects the other. When we aren't obeying his commandments, we tend to shy away from being in communication with him, don't we? It's one is, right? I was right. Yeah. Huh? One is. Okay, so let's say this real nice and loud so my wife can hear it. You were right. All right, sorry, that's all right, doghouse tonight. Shoot. When one of these is off, it tends to throw the other one. They're directly connected. So when we're not obeying his commandments, we tend to shy away from our time in his word. We tend to shy away from listening to him, from being attentive to his Holy Spirit inside of us. And this isn't new. This goes all the way back to the garden, doesn't it? When Adam and Eve first sinned, what did they do? They hid. We read this right here. It says in Genesis 3:10, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. He felt shame. He understood that shame, so I hid. This verse is connected to an old preacher joke, so you know it's going to be dad joke funny. There was this old Bible salesman. He was going door to door, and when he knocked on the door and no one would open, he had this little creative thing he would do. He would leave his calling card with a verse written on there, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, one day he received a card in the mail that had his calling card in it with that handwritten message on it. And it had a verse of its own on there, and it was Genesis 3:10. I heard you, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. So, so Adam and Eve hid from God because they felt shame. And that shame causes separation from God, and that's been true for many, many, many years and many, many, many people since the time of the garden. When we aren't obeying his commandments, we tend to shy away from being in communication with him. We don't spend time in his word. We don't spend time in prayer. We're not attentive to his Holy Spirit. We're not comfortable worshiping him. Why? Because we haven't been loving him by obeying his commandments. And the opposite is true as well, that when we're staying in when we aren't staying in communication with him, when we're not in his word, when we're not talking to him in prayer, when we're not listening to him, when we're not attentive to his Holy Spirit on our heart, on our spirit, then we tend to neglect obeying his commandments. They work hand in hand. If you aren't maintaining your relationship with God, with his values and his principles, his view of what's good and evil, of what's right and wrong, then you're going to be influenced by all of the wacky other ideas that surround us in the world we live in. And you're going to be influenced by those when you're not allowing God to have the top influence on you. And as I said earlier, this is very simple. You love God and you stay in communication with him. Or you love God, you obey his commandments, and you stay in communication with him. And that's what it looks like to remain in him. That's what it looks like to love God back. He loved us first, so we're loving him back. And it's very simple, but a lot of us don't get it. A lot of us don't live it. And that is the most important thing that we can grab a hold of and live. If you want to be successful at one thing in your life, in your entire life, this is it. This is what you want to be successful at, is loving God. Everything else can just fade away, go to waste. Old man car, or brand new Jeep, whatever it is. If this isn't first, nothing else matters. And this is why I want to finish this series on this note. To love God. To encourage every one of us to step it up, to turn it up. Guys, there's been great stuff going on here in our church body And we're over 80 people here. It just keeps growing back. And hopefully God will keep us safe from the corona mess that's going around. And we'll keep getting back up to where we're full attendance. We'll be able to cut the ropes. Maybe we can just have a rope cutting ceremony when we get to that point. Everybody can bring some scissors or whatever. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can clap. That's fine. Yeah, now it's like, oh, okay. He told us to clap. Now we're not. But things are good here. We're being faithful to God in our giving because of our hearts. Our hearts are in the right place. I can share stories about the car thing, and I know that you guys are going to have the good side of the feelings and not the negative side of the feelings. We got how much? I can't step down because I'm crossing this barrier here. So, how much? How much more? How much more would we see here in our church, if we were turning this up? Every one of us loved God more, and we made that more of an effort, more of a focus to put God first, just like our first core value. To grow in God, part of our mission statement. What would it do for us as individuals? What would it do for our families? What would it do for your spouse? What would it do for your children? What would it do for our church? What would it do for our communities? What would it do for our friends and neighbors and coworkers? Everything is going to be blessed if we turn this up. And you're going to live a more fulfilled life. So let us think about these things and really dig in and say, you know what? When I fall, when I'm disobedient, when I'm not obedient to God's commands, the tendency is to shy away, but that is the absolute worst thing we could do, correct? That's the time when you need to grab him and cling a hold and tight. That's the time when you need to be in God's word. That's the time when you need to be accepting to his Holy Spirit speaking to you and giving you the right answers and giving you truth and giving you God's conviction on your heart and life. But what we tend to do is we tend to separate ourselves. And then if we're not attentive to him, if we're not listening to him, then we tend to disobey even more. Don't get stuck in that. Stay in the circle. In times when we are not attentive, then we'll end up being negligent to his commandments. Don't let that happen. Stay attentive. Make it a habit. Make it something that you work at and work toward. Even on the days you don't feel like it, that's why we're called disciples, because it takes discipline to stay in this relationship, to give it all we have. So let me encourage you there, church. Yeah, that won't take too long to read. I was going to skip the John 14. It's a decent passage, but there's a lot of good stuff in here. And it just pulls all of what we've talked about together as well. So John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." So obeying his commandments, connected with being listening to God, being in communication with him. "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." He's still talking about the Holy Spirit. And then he goes back to, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not the betrayer, said, "Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them." See how these are connected? Obeying your commandments, and then this communication, this connectivity to God, God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. "Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So all of that put together. One quick note, and this will go with some homework for you. And that is a reminder of Romans chapter 8, and I encourage you to read Romans chapter 8. And the promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's going to write that down. That's all we're going to do with it. I'm not preaching on it. But take that home. Spend some time in Romans 8 this week. And be reminded, nothing can separate you from the love of God. However, let me state this based on our subject today. When we don't remain in him, we separate him from our love. And nothing can separate his love from us. But when we don't remain in him, we separate our love from him. None of us want to do that. We want to do what Jude says in Jude chapter 1, verse 21. And this is just directly from scripture, so go on and write this down. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. That is a great little verse to finish this whole series up on. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. The greatest of these is love. Let me encourage you this morning to remain in God and to love him. Pray with me. Father, we are so very grateful for your love. For your son who showed your love to us, who taught us what your love is, what your love does. Father, I ask that you would help us to love you more, to love you back, to make you the priority in our life. Father, that as we hear a message like this from your word, not a single person in here can escape the truth, can escape the conviction. Every one of us can be closer to you. Every one of us can be more obedient. Every one of us can be in your word more. Every one of us can pray more. Every one of us can worship with more authenticity. Father, I ask that you would help us as we grow in you. Father, I thank you for this church body and for the great heart that exists here. I pray that as we continue to seek you more, to seek you with more fervor, to seek you with more dedication and devotion, that we would just see so much more of you in our lives than we already do. Thank you so much for loving us first. Thank you for sending your son to die for our sins. It's in his name we pray. Amen.